1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 13. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfilment of the ages has come. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. When we read and learn about the Israelites of old who wandered in the desert for 40 years and made so many mistakes, it is very easy for us to look down on them and think to ourselves, well, I would never have done that. We tend to do this in many regards as we read the scriptures. But Paul is writing here to let us know that those who wandered in the desert were all under the cloud, and they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses. They all had the law. They all were committed to keep the law and to follow God and to worship God. Paul says they had the same spiritual food and drink. They had the rock which followed them, which was Christ. So although we might think all they had was temporal things, all they had was physical things, but Paul is telling us that they understood that these physical things were actually spiritual, and they were to follow God as that rock accompanied them. But God was not pleased with most of them, and Paul says their bodies were scattered in the desert. This is a tragedy, how people who can know God and follow God have spiritual food and drink and yet find themselves dead in the desert. And Paul is telling us that these things happen to them as a warning to us and to teach us. We must pay careful attention. We are not to set our heart on evil things that they did, as they did. They were idolaters. They would sit down to eat and drink, and then they would indulge in pagan revelry. So very quickly and very easily, they forsook the living God and followed their idols. They were sexually immoral. They did not keep the commandment that was given in that regard. And it says 23,000 of them died as a result of that. Paul tells us we're not to test the Lord. We're not to put God to the test and think, well, okay, I'm going to do this wrong thing, but, you know, I'm forgiven because I'm a Christian. I'm forgiven. So it doesn't matter. The Lord killed them with snakes. They grumbled continually, and they were killed by the destroying angel. And again, it's very easy for us to think that, well, I wouldn't do that. I am not sexually moral. I've been married for many years, and, you know, I would never do such things, and I trust in the Lord. And then we get to the grumbling, and, well, we all grumble. And that is really something in our characters which undermines our faith and undermines our trust in the Lord. If we're grumbling, then we are questioning his will for our life. We're questioning what he has given to us and provided for us. and this is a great sin. It comes along with the sexual immorality. And of course, we tend to think that the sexual immorality is the act of doing something like that. But there's the whole realm of looking, desiring, and thinking. Our world is full of temptations and full of things that would lead us in that way. And we are not to go that way. Paul says these things happened as a warning to us because Christians are the fulfillment of the ages that ages to come. They are the end product, so to speak. They are the people in the final realm who have such privileges and such spiritual privileges. But the warning stands to all of us, and we must take it into our hearts. If you think that you're standing firm, if you're confident in yourself, if you're confident in what you know about God, confident really in yourself, you may fall. You're in a very number one position to fall. And we must all watch for that. We must all be humble. God says, no temptation has come upon you that's not common to everybody. Even the most terrible temptation that you think you come under, and it's something that's really wrecking your life and you're having to fight and fight and fight, it's a common one to man. And the Lord Jesus fought it too. And if you are trusting in the Lord, God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what we can bear. That's a wonderful promise. But sometimes we can find ourselves thinking, well, Lord, you must think I'm really strong because I can't take this. This is too much for me. How am I going to overcome this temptation? Well, God has thought of that too, because when we are tempted, he will provide a way out so that we can stand up under it. And we must watch out for those way outs and take them. Whatever they are, if it's in our thinking mode or in our speaking mode or our doing mode, please, Lord, help us to learn to sidestep the temptation, to get out of the way, to adjust our minds and think of something else, so that we will walk with you. We will not fall into immorality of any kind. We will not grumble, but we will put you first in our lives and trust in you with all our hearts.